Hello, welcome to Arcade Couch, the best place to chill with friends and get your gaming goodness each and every Monday. My name's Owen White. Joining me on the couch this week, Ashley Hodler.
Hey, Dylan. Excited to be here, even though it's a quiet week.
It is, but it's also a show in which I'm going to mention Among Us, and Kieran's not here.
Wow. Crazy.
It's the same. All the complaints, all time. Here I am, willingly bringing up that game. He's not here to give me shit about it, so it's his fault.
It's true.
Has been quite a week. I'm not sure why. Is it just because... Is it still, like, post-Final Fantasy? Like, what's the...
I think it's just one of those weeks, you know? Just
one of them weeks. We've had, like, 2 weeks like this now, I feel like.
But last week was, like, post-Final Fantasy, so...
Yeah.
Everybody was focused on that.
Picking back up. Heading back into it, I guess. I was going to say... What the fuck was I going to say? Oh, story of the experiences. I forgot to put...
Shout out, even.
Did our first episode... I mean, if Kieran had showed up, he could have just done it himself, but, you know, stop yelling at the
screen. I was yelling.
Stop. Just fucking take a soother, mate. Jesus.
like prep yourself. Like, do your vocal exercises. Yeah,
exactly.
You know? You know?
Then go out.
Get some, like, milk, honey tea, like, before you go to your game and start yelling and shouting. Mm-hmm. You're going to use your voice. You know your voice is, like, your instrument that you use.
Yeah. You got protected.
Yeah, you need to protect it.
Yeah. And yet he just goes to the football, heads out there, yells without stretching.
No.
And now he's done
it. Or he could just do what most of us do and just tweet your angry comments about the referee.
Don't yell. Save so much. He's not actually listening to you.
No. It'll last longer if you put it on the internet.
People will can retweet
with no context.
It. Yeah. Don't become a grandstand guru.
Yeah, wouldn't want that.
Wouldn't want that. Fuck was I saying? Story and experiences. The twitch.tv/exposure network show we did the first episode the other day. The whole idea is that Kieran's playing through a game. Me and Ash are there for the ride. Stop and discuss. We'll discuss the whole time, but talk shit. But then to stop and discuss the key choices. We're doing The Walking Dead Season 1. First up, did episode 1 the other night. I think
interesting
that's
game.
The pitch, right? That's the pitch, right? I think I've got
it. It is the pitch. We're playing through the game together. Completely original idea that nobody's done. No. Playing a Telltale game.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's
making choices
ever
together. You know, democratically, I use in quotation marks because you know.
No, I feel like it's he's pitching it as democratically, and then Kieran just does what he wants.
Yeah. Oh no, my mouse went dropped the wrong button. Yeah. You hit the wrong button. Yeah. So save Doug.
So if you want to watch it, it is on Twitch. It will be on YouTube by the time you're listening to this. I will put a little asterisk on it and say definitely listening back at Kieran's audio is definitely not loud enough. I've attempted to fix it so the YouTube video will be a little bit better, but it's still. When the game's really loud, it's a struggle to hear him. You and I are fine, but
yeah,
it was a bit lower. So just put an asterisk on that. But as Kieran said at some point that during the recording, it's a work in progress. It's a test show. So his audio is a work in progress, as is the structure of the the thing. You know,
it's interesting. I feel like a lot of it we do ended up like just poking fun of the game, but also got into the deep discussions about it.
Yeah, well, I feel like no matter what the game is, you'll probably end up making fun of the game, even if you really like the game.
Yeah.
There's always something to make fun of. Come on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, though. I liked it because, you know, I was just sitting here relaxing, just watching. I was chilled back, man. Like, I was...
Yeah.
You know, it's good. Didn't have to do shit.
Sitting back while Kieran's making all these errors.
Kieran's making all those. I just had the Twitch thing open and... tried to run the ads at the appropriate time so they would not interrupt other things, but other than that, fucking relaxy taxi, you know. All right, let's get into the few news. Oh, hold on quickly. Every 2 weeks is the rough idea on that story experiences.
Yes,
but yes, you can check the
very rough idea.
Very rough idea. obviously Twitter and just the Twitch schedule. It'll be in there. News stories. First one, press start. The Summer Game Fest 2024 date and time have been confirmed. Jeff Keighley, hero to trailer and sponsored segment enthusiasts everywhere, has revealed the dates for Summer Game Fest 2024 after the event was already confirmed to be going ahead right after it wrapped last year. It will once again be held in person at the YouTube Theater in Los Angeles, as well as streamed live across multiple platforms, where it kicks off on Saturday, June 8th at 7 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Last year's Summer Game Fest gave us first reveals of games like Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown, Sonic Superstars, and Sandland, as well as updates of big titles like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Alan Wake 2, and Mortal Kombat 1. So hopefully Summer Game Fest 2024 brings a similar energy. And fingers crossed, double crossed that Keighley can somehow use it as an opportunity to better address the state of the industry right now. Kieran.
Hey, can I just make one like remark about Kieran's article here? Kieran, we love you here at the Explosion Network, but thankfully, Australian Eastern Daylight Time will be over by June 8th.
That's good.
It will be back to standard time, which is the standard and proper time. So it will probably actually start at 6 a.m.?
Well...
Or has he just mucked up and put the wrong...
Has he marked up? I don't know. I'd have to...
Yeah.
This is a problem when you try and look up times. Well, hold on. I think I added it... Hold on. What day is it? June... 6:30 it starts. So half hour pre-show. No, it would start at 7 then.
Okay, I've put GT instead of ST.
Yeah. I added it to our calendar just via the link on the... Summer Game Fest, like their calendar,
yeah.
So it automatically changes it for you. So, yeah, there you go. Excited?
Yeah, I mean, by that time, you know, we'll be getting those not E3 feelings. You know, get ready to find out about some more games that we don't know about yet. You know,
do you think? I'm thinking this year with the official. With knowing that E3 is like officially like dead, buried, you know, it's dead and gone, right?
Until someone revives it, yes.
TI featuring Rihanna, it's dead and gone, right? I don't think we can call it not E3 anymore. I think it's officially just Summer Game Fest.
Mm.
I think we have to drop the not and non E3 branding.
What about E3 Memorial period?
Doesn't sound like it's a time to get you excited, you know? Here are all the streams you can watch at the E3 Memorial period. You know, it just doesn't have
doesn't roll off the tongue or you just listen to good feelings.
Yeah, it doesn't have good SEO either, I feel so.
Yeah, I guess, you know. Guess we have to call it Summer Games Fest.
I feel like it's just the Summer Game Fest.
Or we should call it Winter Games Fest because we're here in the Southern Hemisphere and say, fuck.
Do you feel like you're going to have a winter up there, do you?
I mean, it'll be cooler.
Oh, cooler?
Well, you'll be having a winter for sure, so I mean...
Maybe, I don't know. It hasn't started to cool down yet. The weather gets weirder and weirder every year. It's as if climate change or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's to say? I don't know if that's a thing. People might need to look into it.
Hmm.
I'm excited. I can get more excited for Summer Game Fest than I can for the Game Awards, because Summer Game Fest is just I'm going into this year with this energy. Fuck the Game Awards. I'm sick of caring, sick of trying. I'll watch it, but I'm gonna go into this year's not looking for anything else other than trailers. I don't give a fuck about their awards. They're meaningless, they're shit, they're trash. Right? That's the energy I'm bringing in. Summer Game Fest. That's bringing them the trailers and the hype and get behind it because it knows what it is. It's not trying to trick me into thinking it's fancier than what it is. You know? So you win this one, Jeff, I can get behind you with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Address the other crazy Jeff Keighley the news this week?
I don't know. Was there another crazy I might have missed?
He actually tweeted about there being layoffs in the games industry.
Did he?
Yeah.
Here we go. Which of the many?
It's heartbreaking time in the games industry with layoffs impacting developers who bring us joy. So I wanted a single boost Amir Savart, who's built a directory of 68,000 job candidates, 2,100 mentors, and even mock interview matchmaking. Check it out with a link. And saying he's offered his time as a mentor to job seekers. You know? So really, it's a half measure. He only brought up the job layoffs so he could mention the good thing he's doing. But, you know, for anybody who had mentioned job layoffs on your mini card this year, he actually did. Technically.
Is this a... it's a bit weird, isn't it? I'm not going to say anything. And then, oh, here's a thing I've helped someone do.
Yep.
What did he help with? Which part?
Probably signal boosting it for a start.
Yeah, other than that.
Yeah, and he said, I've signed up to offer my time to mentor job seekers. If I can help.
That's his part.
Yep.
Okay. The website is set up very weird. It's like it's only made for mobiles.
Maybe it's only for mobile games. Oh, mobile tools.
It's like all... Yeah.
All rectangles? Yeah, it's a bit.
Yeah, weird. So it looks like, yeah. I mean, I guess most people probably would be accessing it on their phone. But yeah, 100%. Anyway, yeah. I mean, that's cool and all, but, you know, come on, Jeff. About 6 months ago would have been good. Giant Skull is a new AAA studio that will probably disband before... Giant Skull is a new AAA studio led by director of the Star Wars Jedi games. After it was announced in September last year that Stig Amundsen, the director behind Respawn Entertainment's beloved Star Wars third-person action-adventure titles, Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order, as well as Santa Monica Studios' God of War 3, was leaving his position at EA, the renowned developer has revealed his next venture, a brand new AAA studio, Giant Skull. The studio is said to be dedicated to building gameplay-driven, story-immersed action-adventure games set in captivating worlds. Leveraging Amazon's decades of experience along with the Wire team, taking it up its headquarters in Los Angeles and remote talent from around the world. Other industry figures joining will be John Carr, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Patrick Murphy, Fortnite, Lauren McLemore, Fortnite, Jeff Magers, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Brian Campbell, Fortnite, and Anthony Scott, Arkham Series. Amazon said the Giant Skull Studio is a culture is bleh. The Giant Skull studio culture is founded on creativity and curiosity. We've assembled a talented team renowned for immersive storytelling, heroic combat, and exhilarating traversal. And our goal is to craft a rich universe that players will want to lose themselves in the years to come. I like Stig, like his games. But I'll say, when someone leaves somewhere and says something along the lines of, I'm looking to... expand to do something different, or you know, something like that is what he said, I believe, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he announces he's doing a new studio that is building gameplay driven story immersed action adventure games set in captivating worlds. I go, welcome back to the shit you were doing before, Stig. You know, like
I would say maybe he didn't have an issue making the kind of games he was making before. It was dealing with the people above him that was probably the thing that he wanted to do differently.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think that is definitely all it was. And at the time, he just said some bullshit.
He just was being politically correct or like polite, you know, gracious. Yeah, hopefully they're able to put out a game. That's good. I mean, it's I can't remember the last AAA. I actually don't know. What was the last AAA new studio that actually came out with a like successful game?
New IP?
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing springs to my mind. Not to say there isn't something, but...
Yeah.
I mean... Hold on, you got me. Fortnite count or no?
That's epic, right?
Yeah, true. Good point. So a new IP from a new studio. A triple A game, new IP from a new studio. That's the question.
I would even broaden it to say it doesn't need to be a new IP, just from a new studio. First game.
Dave the Diver?
I wouldn't. As much as I would not call them indie, they're definitely not AAA. or AAA aspiring. You know what I mean?
They're definitely not AAA aspiring as much as they are. I got nothing, hey.
Tweet at us at Explosion Pod if you got any suggestions of examples.
Because I can get new IPs from new AAA IPs from existing franchise. Like you could look at Elden Ring or something, but obviously that's a existing studio. I'm fucked. That's a fucked up question, hey.
Yeah, a very scary question. It's like nobody's really succeeded in doing that. I feel like you build your reputation over time, and then you have the big hit AAA game.
Mm.
Or you're from a legacy studio.
Even like you think of like Ghost of Tsushima and whatever. Like, there's definitely stuff you can pick new IP, existing studio. There are at least those to give me a little bit of hope and signs that new IPs are still things. However, new IP, AAA, new studio, which is interesting considering the amount of these types of studios that have, at least the amount of news stories and announcements of them being formed, you know.
Yeah, they're just, well,
compared to the amount of them that have actually released.
Obviously, they take so long to develop that a lot of those studios still haven't released those games, you know. Because obviously, the big example of last year was the Magic one.
The what?
The first person Magic shooter that wasn't Forspoken. Immortals. Yeah.
What it was called?
Which is probably the closest example, but was. Well, the closest attempt. But obviously, that was not a success in any way.
And apparently that game was fine and all, like average, but from the majority, I think, of people. I definitely feel like the problem is, unless you're, you know, the only people who can make new IP successfully are people who have really big, successful other games to the point that their studio logo can carry it, you know? Insomniac can do that. Rockstar could put out a new IP and be fine. You know? All these stuff. But when they debut whatever their game is, it's going to drop. Unless you're like really into the industry, you're going to have no idea about what the fuck a Giant Skull is. It's just going to make you think of King Kong as it did me. And then it'll play a trailer, and even if you go, oh, that looks pretty cool, it's still that thing of people just don't want to spend $100-$120 on unknown quantities, you know?
Yeah.
So, good luck to them. But I think there is a sad reason they're not successful.
I mean, probably the biggest one that's upcoming is the Black Myth Wukong game from a studio that hasn't put out anything before.
Yeah.
Sucks
about.
I don't know if the studio sucks. It's considered AAA, but yeah, and it's the shitty studio. Otherwise, everything's, you know.
Mm.
Everything's from proven company developers.
It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack, actually. It's like.
I've really dropped a surprise loop. A conundrum on anybody.
Yeah, it's sort of bothering me, to be honest. Like, scrolling through lists of games here, being like, no, that's not, yeah, fuck, I'll give up. All right. Among Us, anime show. has been cast. Eurogamer writes, Innosloth has revealed some of the sus stars that will be bringing the Among Us animated show to life. As detailed in the announcement post to Twitter/X yesterday, we now know that Ashley Johnson, perhaps best known as Last of Us Ellie, will be voicing Purple. The Lord of the Rings Elijah Wood will be playing Green. Fresh off the Boats Randall Park will portray Red, whilst Commuse Yvette Nicole Brown will voice Orange. Red, captain of the Skild, is described as a blowhard people pleaser, whilst Purple is the suspicious and sarcastic chief of security. Woods Green is an unpaid intern who's just quote unquote happy to be there, and Brown's Orange is a spineless corporate shill from HR. According to Variety, the show creator Owen Dennis will also serve as executive producer on the show alongside Innosloth's Forrest Willard. As yet, no network or stream provider has been attached to the project. What do you think of this show and this cast?
I mean, the cast is good. I like everybody listed there. That's really cool. I don't know how an animated Among Us show works.
It has to be short, right?
Yeah, unless it's like Looney Tunes-esque, like
10 minutes,
small bits, like everything's in like. You can go, you don't need to have a canon, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
like someone dies bits. And then they're suddenly back next episode. And it's like,
and the imposter is different every time. It could be any of the colored, you know, people and that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
That could be work. But if they're trying to have like a multi season narrative TV series, full 23 minutes, that kind of stuff. I can't imagine that being a success or working narratively.
Mm. Especially if they're just copying the same visual style and everything. I'm like, you would need to add a lot of supporting characters to add a proper season length, long reveal to whoever the killer is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are they doing each episode?
You're just actually doing tasks around the ship. You're just been focusing on these people, like cleaning the ship and like doing maintenance.
What they were doing before the ship. That's where it all is.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Flashbacks.
It's all origin stories for each of the colored Among Us characters, yeah.
Mm.
That could work.
Some of you are on board. You're like, actually, you know what? Fuck it, that works.
You know? This ridiculous idea? Yeah, that could work.
Well, they do land, right? They land in the DLC or whatever. I think.
Yeah, but it's still the same game core idea. You know?
Yeah. But I guess that's like a way that you like doesn't have to
fall
on the ship, I guess.
Yeah, it could be anywhere and everywhere, you know.
Mm, all at once.
But yeah, I can't imagine it being long or narratively.
Mm.
Plot heavy.
No.
And the fact that it doesn't have a distributor yet, I mean, that's a little bit odd.
Because this has been saved for a like reveal or something.
Although I could have sworn like a Netflix or something announced that they'd gotten that they were making it. So
I thought they had too, but
according to this Eurogamer article,
apparently we had the same dream.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, last news story for the week. DreamHack has signed a deal to keep the festival in Melbourne for the next 5 years.
Whoa.
Australia's third annual DreamHack Festival is in sight, and the three-day show will be returning to Melbourne across the weekend of April 26th to April 28th. Tickets are on sale now. In a massive win for Aussie gamers and creators, DreamHack is not only landing back in Melbourne this year, but has secured a deal with Visit Victoria, TG Live, and ESL Face It to have the city host the event for the next 5 years, cementing Melbourne's reputation as a hub for cultural events and especially in the gaming sphere. Quote, DreamHack last year had Visit Victoria support, and before that, the Melbourne Esports Open also had support from the Victorian government. So they've been a supporter of ours in the game community for a while, and Melbourne has been such a great place to do events, says Ben Green to Press Start here in this article. The government's supportive and the venues are fantastic to help us out. They're really supportive too, and it certainly feels like a large chunk of the gaming community in Australia is in Melbourne, so it makes it much easier to do an event there. I feel like we grew quite a lot between our first two DreamHacks, even with only 6 months between them. I feel like this year is kind of like a breakout year for the event, which we've kind of shown the community what the show is about. Being able to plan and know year on year we can come back, we can take feedback from the community, we can build the show up and around each year of those things, it's been very good. Yeah, obviously neither of us been to DreamHack. Kieran went to the one last year.
So it's really unfortunate that he isn't here.
It's crazy, actually. It's the funny thing is, like, I was like, wow, it's only, yeah, they've done two of these, and the first two were literally just like very quickly apart because of COVID and planning and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, the fact that I guess those two were successful enough to get a 5-year like agreement, it's pretty good. You know, like having that stability and like knowing that the event will be there, like especially if this is, say this is an event you really liked last few times, and say this third one, which they're pitching as like the one they've had the ability to plan for the most, turns out to be one of the better ones, and then you can, yeah, just add it to your calendar, I guess, as a annual adventure in Melbourne. That's pretty good. So good for them. And yeah, Melbourne continues to be the place to be if you're a gamer, ain't that right, Ash from Brisbane?
Yeah.
Dylan from Tasmania.
Yeah. I mean, Melbourne hoarding all the gaming stuff, you know. Not letting any other place have any of it, you know. Which is seems like classic Victorians, you know what I mean? Keeping everything to themselves.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, if I was like a smaller game expo or something like that, I would be thinking maybe I need to go somewhere else because, you know, this is too much competition, you know, or I would have the opportunity to get different people to my event if I held it somewhere other than the place that already has two massive gaming based events. You know what I mean?
Yes. I feel like there's more to it than that. Right? To clarify,
I feel like Expo, it's governments.
Which is soon. I believe everyone that's involved in that lives in Melbourne. Move.
Wow, because nobody's ever organized events places where they don't live. You know what I mean?
I guess. I feel like hire hotels and there were, I don't know. Maybe the Brisbane government hates putting on gaming events. Maybe that's what killed the EB thing. Maybe
I feel
secretly
like
behind the scenes, they hate gaming events in Brisbane.
Could be.
Just saying. Just putting it out there.
What about Tasmania? You doing any game events?
In Tassie. That's enough of a reason to know I'm not getting shit. That big body of water.
Nobody's going to come.
It's this far on the map, but it's this far in real life. It's less than an hour on a plane, but it's fucking ages. Takes people longer to get. Takes fucking Betson just as long to drive from Geelong to Melbourne, I'm sure, but for some reason, it's too hard. All right, let's go.
Can I just check out one more story that is interesting? So reading from Prayer Start. After teasing an impending announcement and after a Macus collaboration mysteriously popped up, Player First Games has made it official. Multiverses is coming back on May 28th as a pretty big improvements along with it. Introduced by the game directors Tony Hewen, the free-to-play platform fighter stacked with recognizable Warner Brothers characters will be back and better than ever when it launches in full on PS5, PS4, Xbox XS, Xbox One, and Steam. So yeah. We all thought it actually died, but no. It's coming back, despite being in an open beta that no one thought was an open beta for the entire period, in which they had multiple seasons.
The most confusing part about this to me is because I've got like trust issues, I'm like, what is this?
It's the exact same game.
Is it an open beta? Is it a full release?
They're saying it's a full release. Beta
that you can somehow get access to. You know, like what are we talking about?
I don't know. As long as I still have all my stuff, then you know, we're all good.
You're okay with it.
Yeah. Stuff.
I wouldn't say I'm like super excited to get back into it, but I definitely will re-download it and
give
it a go. had some fun playing it. So
yeah,
be interesting to see what the fuck they've done with
what massive changes
in a way has achieved.
Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that everybody hasn't been able to play for a while will potentially even the playing field again, because then all the people haven't played it for like long periods of time, so there won't be all these experts at it, you know.
See,
they'll have all gone off and played their other fighting games.
I'm terrible at Smash Bros, and thus I'm terrible at this game. So that's just, that's anyone who knows
how it is,
just how it is, like just how it is. I do remember I read something that they're adding like some single player content. So obviously, if it is the full release, like having a like some better single player content would be part of that. That would be good. But it'd be interesting. Also, like, are they going to try, if you didn't download it and everything, you hadn't played it before, what's the price now? Like, if you're a new player coming into it, what do you pay now, and what do you get for what you pay? That's, yeah, I've got some questions. So
yeah, what have they learned from the free to play market from the last like 24 months or whatever. Year or whatever? Like, it's interesting.
All right, two shout outs, one for me, one for Jacob. So Jacob has up a Hellskate early access review. So that game's out now, the one where it's a roguelike that looks like it's inspired by Hades and Tony Hawk. That game. It's out in early access. It's the first like world, I think you can basically play up to like the first boss battle or whatever, and then they're going to add more over time. He said Hellskate is a very promising title with plenty of room for growth. The game is amazing for an early access game. It worked well on Steam Deck as well as my PC. The level designs were fantastic and only had some annoyances. I gave it a double thumbs up, so keen to see where that goes from. I might want to try it out as well, because it does take it ticks two boxes of genres and stuff that I like. So I'm keen to, I don't know if I want to wait or do what I did for Hades, which is maybe I'll just jump in, play a couple of hours and go, yep, cool, I'll wait. Like, because, yeah, there's something about early access games. It's just, I know, obviously, it's not like you lose stuff, but I don't know. It's just, you don't want to put too much time in, you know? And then shout out to myself. Obviously, went deeper on this on Platinum Explosion, the episode that was up last week by the time it was, this comes out Monday, last week's episode. Went deep talking about Rise of the Ronin, but then I've got my preview article up as well. Really enjoyed the game from what I've played so far. Obviously, that's the big game out this week. Go check out that article piece, and you can see the picture where I put up side by side of Maki Ito and my character and how they're basically the same person. All right, that'll do this week's episode of Arcade Couch. Let us know any comments, questions, concerns. Yes,
shout out to all the people going to the Lizzie's this week. You know?
Oh, Australian that this week?
Australian Tech Journalism Awards, IT Journalism Awards are being held this Friday. We're up for three categories, so congrats to all the people who are going to beat us.
Yes, sir. Just, you know, I'm happy. I'm going for the noms, and when we get the noms, that's my win.
Yeah,
I'm never going for any wins, you know.
Yeah,
you set the bar, and then you're fine. I mean, technically, we kept it. It went from only being nominated for one thing, and now managed to get nominated three things. So,
yeah, I noticed last year we got nominated for best audio podcast, and this year we weren't nominated. I think your decision to submit the awards game awards episode of Arcade Couch was a mistake.
Oh, no, where you what I submitted.
Where you spent an hour like talking shit about Jeff Keighley and drunkenly.
I mean, if I did do that, that would be a very bad decision. That'd be totally fair.
No, all the nominees in that category are like super serious, like in depth.
I don't know what the fuck you're saying. This is a super serious podcast. I don't know what the fuck.
No, like in depth on a single topic.
Yeah, this is in depth on
multiple topics.
Gaming, a single topic. Gaming.
Okay.
Right? Encompassing one topic of gaming. Now, inside that, there's subcategories, but gaming, right? And about how lizards are trying to ruin it. Or babies are trying to ruin it, I think, currently.
I don't know. All I know is apparently diversity destroys gameplay somehow.
It's true. It's very, very true. I played Alan Wake 2. I take back everything I said nice about that game. Now that I've discovered the truth.
Yeah. I will say, my only thing is, you know, obviously, we're talking about the sweet baby thing. I think their major mistake was trying to close that group.
The Discord?
Yeah, trying to shut that, like, the Steam group or whatever it was initially. Like, the first initial thing of them trying to shut down that group. Because that's just a Streisand effect kind of thing. Like, as soon as you bring it up and make it a bigger deal than it is, then you get the more of the widows involved, you know?
Yeah.
Not to victim blame or anything, but I feel like if they could change a slight thing they would have done, that would be it.
All I know, I'm going to say this, is I saw someone share a clip on YouTube the other day of Boogie29998 just being such a little bitch as he is every day these days of his life. And he's like, he does, apparently did some video where he was like, man, last time I was a fence sitter and Gamergate stuff, but this time I learned my lesson. Woo, I'm Team Gamergate. I'm like, you're such a fucking grifter. Well, that's crazy. Anyway.
Well, yeah, he tweeted his tweet that is like, oh, I believe games should be fun and not sermons about how lectures about how white men are bad.
Yeah. But, and then
it's like, I haven't played any games that describe that, but I'm sure. But games are meant to be fun. You're just inventing bad things to be angry about.
People are literally listing the games that this company's been involved in and going, yeah. And then they're like, now, do you reckon any of these games are? No, they are good games, but the ones we don't know about, right? The ones we don't know about, guys, they're fucking, you know, the upcoming ones, they've probably ruined. I can't say for sure, but I'm saying for sure.
Yeah.
Them ones. They're the bad ones.
People are so weird.
People are weird. All right, that'll do it. This week's episode of Micro Cut. Thank you for joining us. If there's any comments or concerns you've had about anything we've talked about, explosionnetwork.com/Twitter takes you to our Twitter page. explosionnetwork.com/Discord takes you to our Discord page. Twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. For story experiences as that happens, as mentioned at the top end of the show. If you like this episode, this podcast, this website, and want to support us, explosionnetwork.com/support takes you to our Ko-fi page. And we'll see you here same time, same couch next week. Goodbye.